I want to teach just a little bit this morning about something we all have or should have. If we don't have it, we need it badly, because without it, we can't walk in freedom. I'm going to read one scripture. If you would like to stand, that'd be fine. If not, we understand. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, and verse 27. And I titled this little lesson this morning, The Anointing, pure and simple. In the Bible, when you read about the oil, it's usually equated with an anointing, where they were anointing kings or for whatever reason, and we still do that today. We take the oil of the anointing according to the scripture, and we anoint and pray for healing and different things. And of course, when they anointed them back then, they took the whole horn of oil and they just turned it up on top of the head. So if we want to get back to that, don't be surprised if Brother Baggett one day takes this bottle and just turns it up on top of your head and just let it run down and just cover me. I want to be covered by the anointing, the oil of the anointing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You want to get rid of your yoke? Get anointed. Amen. If you want to get off from under your burdens, get anointed. Amen. We talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a little bit more to it than just being filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we have to walk in the anointing if we want to be free from bondage. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Bless us this morning, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus. In that scripture, we have the promise of our yoke being destroyed and God's promise of protection because of our anointing. There's something to that. Psalms chapter 105, verses 14. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. Sound like he's trying to take care of somebody. Verse 15 saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we can all walk in the anointing, but the anointing is going to cost us something. And I think about Christ in the wilderness when he started his ministry. And he went into the wilderness and he faced head on Satan himself. And you know the story. I don't need to go through all that. But I tell you, it cost Christ something to walk in the anointing. Amen. And it's going to cost us. But I tell you, when the anointing comes, the yoke is destroyed. Amen. You can rest assured that if you're walking in the anointing of Christ, that your yoke will be lifted. I don't care if it's a yoke of fear, a yoke of depression, a yoke of pride, or whatever it might be. We are made free. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 34. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's slavery. That's bondage. That's having a yoke about your neck. I wished I had a big old ox yoke just to show you. I know you've all seen, if you hadn't seen one, actually you've seen pictures of it. I tell you, that thing's heavy. It's cumbersome. Don't want no yoke. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We need to walk in the anointing. We need to be free. Because I'm telling you, sin has a way of enslaving us and controlling us and even dictating our actions if we listen to the evil one. That is going to constantly sit on your shoulder and try to get you to do wrong. I want to be free from that stuff. I want to be walking in the anointing. Amen. And Jesus can free you from that slavery that's going to keep you from becoming the person that God created you to be. I tell you, Jesus can break the power of the yoke over your life. Amen. Saved or unsaved, he can break the power of the yoke on your life. But I'm telling you what it'll do. The anointing is a game changer, if you will. And if you watch much sports, or if you're a sports fan, you will see one team winning and something will happen in that game, and the momentum will shift, and you'll hear that commentator say, "Boy, that was a game changer. Things have turned around. Now it's the other fella." I'm telling you, the anointing will become a game changer in your life. Amen. Because we can be exposed to the sin of this world, but when you're walking in the Spirit, the bondage of this world cannot hold you nor control you. Amen. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the anointed. Praise the Lord. And the psalmist declared, "Touch not mine anointed." Listen to what else he says. The psalmist in chapter 17, verse 7. "Shew thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that saveth by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." I'm telling you, there is a spiritual mindset to walk in the anointing. Amen. You got to know who you are in Christ. You can't be wandering through this thing and got no idea what your status is. You have to know who you are in Christ. And like the scripture said, just as we protect the pupils or the apple of our eye, it is right to pray for God to protect us. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know when I was in the working world, thank the Lord, I'm retired, I love it. But when I was in the working world, we worked around a lot of harsh chemicals, and the first line of defense was safety glasses. The second line of defense was a pair of goggles. The third line of defense was a full face shield and all the stuff that goes with it. I was more than willing to use that. I wanted to protect my eyes. If something happens, what's the first thing you do? You'll shut your eyes and turn your head. You'll take a lick on the shoulder or arm or back or something. But Lord, don't let me lose my eyesight. And I worked in the oil field one summer when I was going to school. And it was a wireline. Part of it was involved using a wireline service. And sometimes that thing would break and it was spooled on a spool. And if it was strung out and straightened out, when it broke, guess what it does? It goes back to the spool, but it don't wrap up on the spool. It's just sitting there doing this. And we would holler eyes. And you would grab both eyes with your hands because you didn't want that wire to hit you in the eye. Lord, keep me as the apple of the eye. At all cost, keep me, O Lord. And he will do that. And we must never make a conclusion that somehow we've missed God's protection if we experience troubles. I'm not teaching that today. I'm not teaching you're going to be free from all troubles. That's ludicrous. But God's protection has far greater purposes than just helping us avoid pain. It's to make us better servants for him. There's too many times that I read in the scripture about being tried in the fire and coming forth as pure gold. Hang on, folks. Walk in the anointing. Walk in the Spirit, and you will come through victorious. Amen. We need the anointing. I tell you, God often protects us by guiding us through circumstances, not helping us escape them. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everything that come down the pike, he just said, "Nah, that ain't for you. Go around that." That would be wonderful. You talk about heaven on earth. But I tell you what, don't give in. Keep walking in the anointing, folks. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. "But now after that, ye have known God, or rather, are known of God." Did you know you can know God and God not know you? Ask those guys that, where was that, the book of Acts or Rome? Where was that where he looked at him? He said, "Well, Peter I know, Paul I know, but I don't know who you are." I want the Lord to know me. Not only do I want to know him, I want him to know me. "But now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" I don't want to put the yoke back on after I've taken it off. Amen. Drop down to Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The anointing breaks the yoke. Amen. Christ died to set us free from sin and from a long list of laws and regulations and stuff. And I don't know. I'm not going to cross theological swords, but I think a lot of stuff that's taught for salvation issues ought not even be mentioned. I'm telling you, folks, the Word of God will teach you and guide you into all truth. Amen. That's what it says. And we're not to be free to do whatever we want when God sets us free from sin, because that's only going to lead us back into slavery to our fleshly desires. I'm telling you, the flesh loves carnality. Amen. Listen to me close. Those who would appeal to their freedom, so to speak, so that they can have their own way or their own desires, are just falling back into sin. It kind of reminds me of the old cliche, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Just because you may not adhere to something, it does not give you the right to indulge yourself in all your fleshly desires. Then you become like they talked about, I think it was in the book of Romans or one of them, Paul was writing about, well, God has great grace. We can just keep sinning because grace is going to cover it all. That's not true. That is not true. Just because you have been set free from some things doesn't give us the right to do what we want to do. And we'll be falling back into sin if we do. I tell you, Satan's job is to put the yoke on you. But the Holy Ghost has a power to break whatever Satan brings your way. We must walk in the anointing. Praise the Lord. How do we stay in the anointing? I'll tell you, one of the most important, there are many, many ways we could probably cover, but one of the most important ways to me is prayer. If there is no prayer, there is no power. I tell you, I don't see how anybody can survive, any Christian can survive without prayer and without petitioning God every single day. I'm not talking about long, elaborate prayers. I'm just talking about talking to God, getting out of bed in the morning and thanking Him for what He's done. Lord, You let me get up again. You let me enjoy Your beautiful world. You let me put my clothes on. You let me go to work. You let me take care of my stuff. I'm telling you, we need to communicate with God. You know, and the Bible talks about praying always. That doesn't necessarily mean kneeling down and praying. It's communicating with Him all day long. Amen. Being of a mindset and thinking about Christ and communicating with Him. So we need to stay in the anointing, and one of the main ways is by prayer. The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we got to learn to practice that. Amen. I've heard some people talk about, and I guess everybody has an opinion on that. Well, I haven't spoken in tongues and since I received the Holy Ghost and stuff. Well, I'm not one to tell you have to, but I don't see how you make it without it. And I'm not talking about here in front of everybody and edifying yourself. I'm talking about in your prayer closet, communicating with God and losing yourself in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's walking in the anointing. To pray in the Holy Ghost simply means to pray in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the anointing, you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we need to find space and time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you literally bypass the carnal mind. Amen. And you begin to communicate with the Spirit of God just on a different plane, on a different level. I hesitate to talk about myself, but I've been praying before in the privacy of my home and come to myself on the floor and never knew how I got there. Didn't know anything about it. All I knew was I was in His presence. not real sure what all was said or transpired, but I knew I was praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what helps me walk in the anointing. It's praying in the Spirit. You'll bypass your intellect and what you think and know, and you'll begin to pray the will of God for your life. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. When you are talking to the Holy Spirit, when you're praying and the Spirit speaks to you, folks, you are literally hearing from heaven. You are literally hearing from God Almighty when the Spirit speaks to you. And he will guide you, and he will walk with confidence with you in the Spirit. That is being anointed. I tell you, I want the Lord to guide me, and I want to walk in confidence before him. I know there's sometimes I don't understand what's going on, but I tell you, it doesn't keep me from walking in confidence with the Lord. That's my guide. And I think about the guide services that are offered today. Wouldn't it be awful if you wanted to go somewhere and you wanted to look at some different things and they brought you in and just kicked you out and said, we'll be back, get you in a week. You don't even know where to start. But thank God we got guide services. Thank the Lord we got an almighty God that's a guide. Amen, that will lead and guide us. So why would we not want to walk in the anointing and the power of the Spirit? I know we like our comfort zone. We like our order of things. I'm telling you, I'm that away sometimes. I like it to go according to plan. But I'm telling you, sometimes God will interrupt your plans, won't he, Brother Terry? Yeah, when our job turned into five, I've kind of been there myself before. You know, and what I originally planned to do, I didn't hardly even get it done. But Brother Terry's right. God may have something else for you. He may have a different plan for you. He may be protecting you from something. Praise the Lord. So we like our order of things, and our flesh loves to pursue the carnal things. But I'm telling you, it's time to pursue the anointing like never before. In this day and age we're in, we need to pursue the anointing. Praise the Lord. We don't need to settle for a mindset of just maybe so. And why would we want to do that when we can walk in a thus saith the Lord? That's what I want to walk in, the anointing of the Lord. Because the Holy Ghost, it can show up anytime and anywhere. And we need to be walking in the anointing so we can pick up on it. I think it's in Isaiah, the scripture says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And if you read about the standard, that was literally a banner. And when the enemy would come in, the standard goes up and it tells us what to do. You better be in communication with the one lifting the standard and lifting up the banner. They would lift it up to tell the Israelites to go forward. They would lift it up to tell them to go back. They would lift it up to tell them to stand still. When the enemy comes in and the standard goes up, you better be walking in the anointing and under the power of the Holy Ghost so you can talk to the Spirit. Or you will never understand what the banner said in the first place. Amen. I'm talking about walking in the anointing. I tell you, we just can't imagine all that God has for us as Christians. I'm talking about down here. Folks, this is the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture bears out. Amen. It ain't meat and drink. It's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's why we have to be sensitive to the voice of God and walk in the anointing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I tell you, knowing that we will live forever with God in a place without sin, without suffering, and without any yoke of bondage on us, can help us live above anything in this life we may face. Any pain, any trial, any trouble, which is temporary. It may seem like it's never going to end. I'll be the first one to tell you, I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? Trust me, it's temporary. Keep walking in the anointing. Keep walking in the Spirit, because that is eternal. Amen. Listen to this story about being anointed and following the leading of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, starting with verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them. You can rest assured when you're anointed, the enemy's going to come. If you're not anointed and you're not walking in the Spirit, you're no threat to the enemy. Matter of fact, you may be aiding and abetting the enemy. So they decided to come against David. Verse 9, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hands. You can equate success with prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's hang on, I ain't decided yet. But you can equate your success with prayer. Verse 11, so they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they call the name of that place Baal Perazim. I tell you, we need to give praise while the enemy is going down. We don't need to have total success and then say, well, thank you, Lord. I'm going to praise him while the enemy is going down. Praise the Lord. And get your breakthrough. I was looking part of the news about all the flooding. You know, this town in Arkansas, they weren't doing too good. Well, when the levee broke, they really wasn't doing good. That was a breakthrough, a very unpleasant one. But I'm telling you, if you seek the face of God and you walk in the anointing, you will have a breakthrough. Praise the Lord. David did. Verse 12, and when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Destroy the enemy, don't play with him. Beat him while he's down. The scripture says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was a commandment. That wasn't a suggestion. And David gave the commandment also, and they destroyed all those gods with fire. Verse 13, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. I tell you, the enemy's going to come back. You know, sometimes, you know, after a whipping like that and stuff, you know, you want to say, well, man, are you stupid? They came back. And I'm telling you, even Christ himself in the wilderness, before he started his ministry, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even on the cross and everything in between, the enemy tried to stop him. But I'm telling you, most of the time, Christ would put him in his place simply with the word. Amen. So the enemy will come back. Destroy him. Don't play with him. Verse 14, therefore David inquired again of God. I tell you, that says something about David. I know David messed up a lot. I'm not going to go into all of that. But David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, go not up after them. What? You just told me to go up. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. You know, can you imagine David after praying? You know, he told me to go up. Now he's telling me to go hang out in the mulberry trees. You know, what's up with that? as the young people would say. Verse 15, and it shall be when you shall hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. When the Lord gets ready, then it's time to move. You know, he may tell you, get up and go. He may tell you, Steve, go hang out in the mulberry bushes a little while until you hear a going in the tops of the I'm assuming he's talking about the wind. Until you hear a little going in the tops of the mulberry trees. I tell you, sometimes God works in a new way. It's not always the same. It's not me to question. It's up to me to listen to what God says. And that's walking in the anointing. Amen. Verse 16, David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer. I tell you, in almost every new situation, David prayed for guidance. He wanted God to guide him. Don't ever assume that God's way of working in your life is always going to be the same, because it's not. And I just got through telling you, sometimes we like the order of things. We like the way things to go the way we want them to. Sometimes God don't work like that. Amen. So we got to be ready to do what God says. And if you seek God's leading in all your new circumstances and things, a change won't appear as a threat to you. You know, well, Lord, this way you're having me do it now, I don't know if we can just go hang out in the mulberry trees, David, and I'll take care of it. It won't appear as a threat, but an opportunity to let God work in a new way in your life. That's walking in the anointing. Amen. And the fame of David, verse 17, and the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Praise the Lord. I tell you, when the Lord moves, get in the flow. Get in the flow and step into that dimension of the anointing, for God is doing something special. I've been in church services before when something may be moving or God may be touching somebody. I've literally moved from one side to the other. I'm not looking for just a spillover so that my conscience can be soothed and Satan can tell me, well, you felt that little doodad on your back. A doodad is what gets on top of a goosebump, in case you're wondering what a doodad was. And sometimes it soothes our conscience. Okay, boy, I still got it. Here we go. Folks, we got to walk in the anointing. This cannot be a maybe so. So when the Lord moves, get into the flow, into that dimension of the anointing, for he's doing something for us. We may not understand it. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Did you know your faith is going to end one day? When you make heaven, your faith is gone. Now you are looking at it. Amen. I got to hurry up. John chapter 3, verse 8. Because this is how it is sometimes. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Get up and move, because the Spirit's moving. Amen. Get in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Walk in the anointing. Because now's the time to be attentive in the Spirit. Be listening for what heaven is saying, because every yoke of bondage can be broken, for the anointing destroys the yoke. I read that to you a while ago. Amen. But like I said, the anointing costs something, but Calvary gave us access through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the Comforter couldn't come until the blood was shed, and there could be no Pentecost until there was a Passover, until the blood was shed. I'm telling you, blood is messy. But so is sin. But it takes the covering of the blood to cover sin. And God chose blood to cover our sins. Why did he do that? In Leviticus chapter 17, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And of course, we have people in the medical field here that know a lot more than I know. But I have yet to read or hear where somebody's blood was tainted, they ask them to go get that liquid we made over there, and we're going to just replace it with that. No. You can have artificial knees. You can have artificial hearts. You can have artificial valves in your heart. You can have artificial this and artificial that, but there ain't no substitute for the blood. If somebody needs blood, they go to the blood bank and try to get your type. I'm telling you, God chose blood because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And whether we know it or not, in order to live, something has to die. The food you eat, the food that's on your table, something had to die so you could eat and live. You say, well, I'm a vegan. He had to die too. Where do you think that wheat come from, that bread you eat? That stalk of wheat had to die so you could have a loaf of bread. Amen. It doesn't matter. For you to live, something had to die. And for me to live eternally, something had to die. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It literally does not exist without the shedding of blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God there was a Pentecost after the blood was shed. And I tell you, just like that heavenly breath that made Adam a living soul, I'm so thankful that one day the wind blew again and that unblemished, sin-free spirit came back to us. Acts 2 and 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one place in one mind, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Amen. I'm glad that same wind blew again and afforded us the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the anointing. Folks, I want fresh anointing. I want fresh fire. I don't know about y'all, but I got to have it. And I got a reading right quick here. Exodus chapter 30. I want to read you. I told you about the oil being associated with anointing. Over in the book of Exodus chapter 30, starting with verse 22, this talks about making of the holy oil. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and the shekel of the sanctuary, and of all olive and hine, about 6 quarts or so. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. An ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. The apothecary was simply the art of mixing spices and mixing stuff like that. We're acquainted somewhat today to pharmacies and pharmacists that mix medicine. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. You don't waste this on just everything. Neither shall you make it any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. God is serious about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Don't taint it. Don't use it for purposes other than what it was intended to be. I know a lot of preachers, the poor televangelist, he gets a bad rap, but I'm telling you, a lot of guys get into that vein, and suddenly the ministry, they begin to turn it in on themselves, and it no longer becomes a ministry, but becomes something to them as a business. I'm telling you, the oil of the Holy Ghost And the oil of the anointing is supposed to be holy and holy only. Praise the Lord. Don't let anything spoil your holy anointing oil. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stink. Don't let dead flies get in your anointing. Amen. When the master apothecary mixes it up and anoints you, don't let anything taint it. Praise the Lord. We need holy oil. And I'm telling you, my prayer is this morning that we have true anointing and every yoke shall be broken. Can you give the Lord thanks? Amen. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that every yoke that I bear can be broken. God bless you this morning. I love you. Thank you for your attention. And we'll take a quick break and come back for our other service. God bless you.